is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada, and Carnivore Club. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty storefront studios and five-hour energy performance zone.
Slow down there, Speedy Gonzalez
of China. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred,
what
call 1-855-662-4743.
Are you getting a phone call right now during this program?
That's 1-855-HF. I think I pressed the wrong button. That's
oh, I see. You know, he speeds through that part like he's got to go to the bathroom. Do you hear that?
Oh, yeah, he does.
We just have a lot of really good sponsors.
Yeah.
No, I know, but...
Phil.
It'd be great if, I don't know. And then you had a phone call during your intro.
It's a new phone.
Yeah, Yabba-dabba-doo.
What's a new phone got to do with anything? Because it's a new phone, you get calls at different times? Like, that doesn't make sense.
You know, Pearl's mother's coming here in May with Pearl, and, you know.
Well, if they come.
Well, they've got to come and see you.
Well, no, the problem is...
And meet us.
With,
oh, that's another thing.
The problem is Canada.
Are we going to be invited? Will there be a ceremony where we're included in the meet and greet with Pearl?
I don't know, Howard. That's a great question. But, you know, he keeps alluding to this thing that Canada is so hard to enter, and I just don't understand it, because the people visit here all the time.
Oh yeah, but it depends on where you come from. That's the problem.
No, I get that, but yeah. So where does she live? Bangladesh? Where? What is it again?
Well, it might as well be Bangladesh.
Oh, Cambodia.
Where does she live? Bangladesh.
Okay, so it's Cambodia.
Yes.
So people from Cambodia mm-hmm. have a tougher time visiting than somebody from Australia.
Well, absolutely. CIC has this beautiful website, by the way. You know the website that the Americans crashed when Trump got elected?
Yes.
They have a beautiful survey that provides you with some help trying to figure out where you're from and what you need for your visa and all that. And for Cambodians, unfortunately, they need my birth certificate.
That's horrible.
Because I'm the host in Canada.
Well, that's no major stumbling block.
Do you have to send them any audio? Yeah, you can send them that.
Yes, right.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
I'll tell you, you know, you get off the plane at Pearson, that's Toronto's major airport, which I must say, it's a pretty impressive airport now.
Yeah, it is.
You know, part of all this Trump stuff is talking about infrastructure, and he mentions the airports, and it's true. When you go to the United States, like, you know, LaGuardia and this LAX, and compared to
They're rundown old structures.
Fucking crap. But anyway, when you land at Pearson, it's like the League of Nations. You see people from everywhere, and you don't get the impression that it's hard to visit Canada, but hey, what do I know? I'm just a dickwad.
Well, you know,
I don't know things.
You're just a dickwad.
I don't know things.
You know, it wouldn't be the worst thing for you to go talk to somebody, because your self-image is it's in need of repair.
A little chuck-a-hoo-hoo.
And it never used to be. I used to think I was okay.
I used to think I was okay.
Not so much anymore.
But I've been beaten down. You know, there's that scene in... Do you enjoy, Phil, the movie Love Actually? It's like this become this Christmas staple.
You know, it's such a pleasant movie.
You do like it?
I love it.
I'll
watch it again.
Yeah, I'll watch it again. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's leading into, why can't I find a, God, damn you, YouTube. I'm trying to find the music to that scene in Love Actually.
Which scene?
Well, you know, in the narration of the movie, he says, you know, I watch the faces as they arrive at Heathrow, and it occurs to me that love actually is everywhere. People are greeting one another.
All right.
People from all mm-hmm. walks of life, and mm-hmm. There we go. And I love that scene. It's kind of how the movie begins, and it's kind of how the movie ends, that if you go to an airport, you don't see people fighting. Mm-hmm. People aren't, well, I mean, I'm sure there's some people angry at their loved ones when they come off a long flight, but for the most part, like I just landed, as you did last weekend, and, you know, I come out of the international terminal, and there's people there of all sizes and shapes with signs saying, Phil.
Well, that's another thing.
And everyone's in a good mood.
When I was a kid, and, you know, Pearson, at the time it was just called Toronto International.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually called Malton at one point, Malton Airport.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a kid and somebody had flown somewhere, it was quite common practice, everybody get in the car, go to the airport, get at park, you know, as you do, get out, walk up the thing, and then be waiting for them to say hello.
Yeah.
And then as things became more crowded and complicated, you sort of stopped, that practice stopped. So it's still, it blows me away when you come out of the final, you know, after you've got your luggage, you come out and there's people waiting for other people. I think, wow, that's just like the old days.
But remember, all three of us arrived at the international terminal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that in the other terminals, I don't think.
No.
Excuse me. Not as much.
No, not
in Terminal 3.
No, I'm just saying, like, when you come off an international flight, it's generally... versus you come off a flight from Regina, no one's there.
Right. It's like in Vancouver where you know how the international terminals is all fancy and complex and opulent. But then if you fly domestic, it's like a bunch of belts and there's the door.
But the point is, you know, you can if you fly domestically, you know, on any given day, today on a Wednesday in December, you know, it's a lot of business people. It's a lot of business travel where, you know, on the weekends at the international terminal, like all of us, again, you come up, those doors open after you finally last sticker to the guy.
Oh, yeah, the declaration card.
And you walk out, and it's filled with people smiling as their loved ones arrive from foreign places.
That's right. Bantuita. I'm here to see Bantuita. He's coming to Canada.
Bantuita.
Bantuita.
Where's Bantuita? Oh, I'm sorry. Is that how you pronounce it? Bantuita or
Bantuita?
See, I say Bantuita because I'm from the Midwest. But so, Bantuita, where are they coming from? Bangladesh?
Anywhere south of the equator.
Bantuita. And there's people there with signs, you know, saying, hey, Bantuita, over here.
That's a very cool thing, you know. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone to an airport and had someone waiting with you, waiting for you with a sign?
Makes you
feel important.
Yeah.
Both times I've gone to Italy because it's so fucking crazy there, and then you rent a place, I've arranged to have somebody there with a sign saying, Patterson, you know.
Patterson. Patterson, right.
And then you go to the guy, and he takes you, and you get in the car, and you go to a hotel, and it's, you know, it's worth the
expense. And then what happens? Do you get in the car? He puts
get out of the car. Put
the luggage in, and you sit in, and you shut the door.
No, it's great if you've ever done that. It's fabulous.
And how exciting is it? You know, when you open those doors and your name's Bantuita.
Bantuita.
And you see a sign that says Bantuita.
From Kathmandu.
Bhanntwata. Bantuita.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that Bantuata? She doesn't like it. Hey, she doesn't like it when you fuck up her name. Oh. Hey, Bantuata. That's what they called her in school.
But you know, sometimes
she was teased relentlessly, Fred.
When you're flying and you're approaching your destination, you're thinking, when I get there, I really don't know where I am and what I'm doing. And it adds a little stress to the situation, especially when it's in Europe and it's so congested and driving in a foreign land if you had to. And it's just, it's very reasonable, too, if you're in that situation.
Where?
Like when I went
to Rome, about Italy now.
Like for €40, the guy's at the thing.
Beautiful.
Has the sign, picks us up, takes us to our destination. Super.
Tomorrow morning when you get here, I'm going to meet you at the door. You know what the sign's going to say?
Yeah.
What's it going to say?
Bantuita.
Yeah, of course. You know, I did a lot of traveling on my own for a long time. And it was weird. I'd get on a plane by myself. I wouldn't know anybody. I'd be traveling during the, you know, the day with business people, and I'd get off, and I'd have to find my own way, and I just kind of got used to it, which is why when there is somebody there picking you up or you're there to pick somebody up, it's, I don't know, there's something sweet about it.
Yeah. No, there is. Yeah.
Although, you know, nowadays, it's like that's, you know, it's funny. Everything for me can be traced to a Seinfeld reference. When you were talking about in the old days about going to pick somebody up at the airport, it made me think of that Seinfeld thing about how well do you have to know somebody before you'll drive them to the airport or pick them up. It's a big deal. Like, you know, nowadays, if you said, hey, I'm arriving at 11 on Saturday morning, I say, hey, cool. You know, get a taxi or an Uber.
Or see you at 1.
Well, yeah, see you at 1.
But it's such a pain in the ass because, number one, you don't want to park. It's so expensive.
Yeah.
Secondly, unless you time it properly, they don't let you stop, right? Mm. So you have to do the circling.
Oh, yeah.
So the airport limo the other day for me to where I live in Brampton, I think, was $61. And then with a tip, you know, you're pushing $70. I mean, that's some dough, but really, the pain in the ass that it can be for, like, a couple of times I've been somewhere and Delise goes to pick me up. And if the plane's delayed a bit or it's congested there and you get caught up in the circle and then you're told to keep moving, it's fucking chaos.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even worth it anymore. So
when my brother's friend from Moose Jaw came on his way through Toronto about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, because of where I live, because of this proximity to Pearson here now, it's about 12 minutes.
Right.
I said to him, here's what I want you to do. I said, text me when the plane lands.
Yeah, good idea. Mm-hmm.
Because by the time the plane landed, here's how it went. I was going to do a little Freddie P detail.
You ran down your stairs?
No, I'm going
back up the stairs.
No, I was going to go. His plane landed. I drove there.
You drove there.
Yeah.
Not enough detail.
I'm sorry.
Anyway,
got in the car.
I got in the car.
Turned on the engine.
Turned the security on in the house. No, it worked out perfectly. And I only had to do one loop. Like, I got there, he texted me, I still haven't got my, his text was, I still haven't got my luggage. So I just did one more loop and he was out. Like, it worked perfectly.
Yeah. And, which is great. If that happens, it's superb. You know, neighbor John used to be great.
Sorry.
Neighbor John used to be great for that. I'd say, we're going away. He said, oh, I'll drive you to the airport. But we sort of got away from that.
Yeah, but a drive to the airport isn't anywhere near as big a deal. Yeah, drop-off's easy.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, you don't think it's sucky that I love watching Love Actually every Christmas?
No, because I do too.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to check. What about Bontuita? What's her Christmas? His. Could be him.
I'll tell you. And the thing is, I would never think of watching it any other time. But I'll watch It's a Wonderful Life once as well. I just will.
Okay, mm-hmm. You know, this is why I brought this up again, because I'm a segue machine. What does it say right there? Movie, Wonderful Life. Why did I want to bring it up? Here's why. Because I'm going to take my kids, if they'll come with me, 11 a.m. on Christmas Eve day morning, they're showing It's a Wonderful Life over here at the Cineplex Queensway.
That'd be great on the big screen.
In the big screen. Because I've never seen it on a big screen, mm-hmm. and I know they haven't. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say, girls, as part of our Christmas Eve Day adventure, mm-hmm. why don't we begin with a little brunch and It's a Wonderful Life?
It'd be fantastic.
If they don't go, they'll probably say no, but I think I'm going to wander over there because I've never seen it in an actual movie theater.
No, that would be great.
Yeah.
You know what you can do, that new TV you have? You put a chair about 3 or 4 feet in front of it and then a blanket over the screen and over your head,
mm-hmm.
you'll get the same effect.
Yeah, that seems like a really lot of fun.
Slightly
you'll
explosive.
Get the same effect.
I love you, you old savings and loan. I love you, Bontuita. A lot of people don't realize Bontuita was the name of the sweetheart in It's a Wonderful Life.
What's that other one, too? I saw clips because on your recommendation, although the series is 4 years old, it's the Untold History of the United States or whatever it's called. You know, Oliver Stone, he puts certain clips from old movies in, and the one there, is it Mr. Jones Goes to Washington?
Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington with Jimmy Stewart. Just seeing a couple of those clips, I want to watch that movie again, too, because that is... That's a fabulous movie as well.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it in a long time.
That old Jimmy Stewart knew what he was doing, eh?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He was sort of typecast, but it was cool with the type of character he always
Jimmy
played.
Stewart was Tom Hanks of his time.
Yeah. Good, good comparison, yeah.
Just the guy that was a really good actor but was always likable. Kind of typecast in a certain type of style of character, but
right.
You always knew if you were watching Jimmy Stewart in a film... I used to love later in his years that he would come on the Johnny Carson show and he would you know, sit there on the panel, tell some stories, read a poem he'd written. Yeah. I love that
Fabulous.
Guy.
You know, when you're going to Palm Springs in January,
no.
I was just there. Did I tell you? Anyway.
Where were you?
Palm Springs.
Where are you now?
That whole area, Palm Springs, Rancho Mirage. Howard, if you get some spare time, you go up to Palm Springs. They have the stars and the sidewalk thing, too. But I'll tell you, they've really kept the... They have strict rules about architecture. It's sort of Art Deco-y in some ways, but you can't build over a certain height, and anything built has to fit into the...
Smart.
It just reeks of Hollywood history, because that's where they always... It became popular, as you know, for all those people to head out to Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm. That was where they went.
In their spare time. And just from the stars on the sidewalk, reading some of the literature, I mean, online or whatever, you just this feeling you have, the Rat Pack and Lucy and Desi, they all just hung out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they used to go to clubs there. Palm Springs, up until not long ago, 20 years ago, it was a sort of a nightclub destination too, right? Like, Don Rickles, they perform in Palm Springs. It doesn't happen so much anymore. But all these guys, and then you can read all about the houses they owned just mm-hmm. in and around the area, and it's the vibe is really
that's
pretty cool.
That's where those guys used to bring their mistresses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's what they said. You know, they think that's the first place where John Kennedy banged Marilyn Monroe.
Banged her good,
was in,
yeah.
Was in
yeah.
Palm Springs.
She did. You know what her, it's funny because I read this recently, her Secret Service name was?
Yeah. Oh.
Bonita.
Bonita.
Oh, yes.
Happy
you know
birthday.
What? It says a POTUS is with Bonita.
Oh, in her skirt.
And banging her in her sweater.
Presidentially.
But I told you, I don't... did I tell you on air or off air that, you know, I love Lucille Ball, I just do. And Delise and I went to Lucy and Desi's house
yeah.
that they bought in Palms. Did I tell you that on air?
Yes, you
did. It was cool.
It's okay.
He won the property in a card game. And didn't know what to do with it. And then him and Lucy whipped out there and sort of liked that it was sort of a open ranchy type feel. Mm. So they had some big designer in Hollywood design this 4,500 square foot house that's still there.
So in mm-hmm. nowadays times, it's a 2-hour drive?
Yeah.
What would it have been in those days?
Oh, I imagine
times?
It would have been longer,
like
yeah.
4 or 5 or
probably
something?
Probably two-lane highway.
Yeah.
Not as busy, but whatever. Or maybe they would take small commuter planes there.
Big show today because today is the day one of the 12 days of meat.
Meat.
Humble and Fred's 12 days of meat.
Yum.
And shortly after 8 o'clock Eastern time, have we ever given away anything on the phone? I don't think we have.
We probably had, but not realized it.
Anyway, we're giving away some stuff on the phone today. We'll do it different ways. If the phone works, that's how we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
We're already getting incredible buy-in from the Humble and Fred Hundy Peas, and later on I'll tell you all the nice people that have basically supported us by using the Humble and Fred code on Carnivore Club's website. People are ordering lots of meat. We had some of it yesterday. I'm not even sure what that prosciutto was, but I haven't had really very much meat in a year, mm-hmm. and I ate that prosciutto like they just invented it. It was insane.
How did your system handle it?
Funny you ask that. I felt fine, but I definitely was a little gassier.
Mm.
But that could be anything. I eat so many vegetables in a day, it's absurd.
Right.
So,
right.
But it was really tasty, and that salami. And anyway, we're giving the gift of meat. It is it's like a nice $50-$60 prize. And it will be delivered to your home.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. If we do a phone giveaway, it's going to be it's not going to be complicated at all. We'll quickly get your address, and then, it will be delivered directly to you. You don't have to come to the studio and pick it up or anything. Like your squatty potties, by the way.
How are we going to do that, by the way?
What?
How are we going to get their address?
Well, maybe I'll pass the phone over to Phyllis.
Is it Phyllis?
Or you can always ask them to send an email, because we'll know their name by then.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
That's what we've done usually.
Yeah. You know.
I see what you're saying, yes. Well, we're going to work it out, I'll tell you right now.
We can work it out.
Okay, well, so that's coming up just around 45 minutes from now. Dr. Uche Odi Atu.
Ooch.
He'll be here. See what he has to say about meat. I know he's a big meat lover.
Mm-hmm.
Should probably get him to try some salami. If you want to check out Carnivore Club's website, it's actually carnivoreclub.co, not com or ska. Not the ka. What else is going on? Well, there's a ton of stuff. Are you finished with that segment?
Oh, yeah.
What were we talking about? Whatever that was.
Palm Springs.
Oh, airports and stuff. Yeah. Just really quickly, I think I said something yesterday. It could be misconstrued as douchey, but I think of it as, I'll tell you, I think of it as a safety measure. I mentioned that whenever I get on an airplane, I think you thought I was kidding, but whenever I get on an airplane, I at some point drop the fact that if there's trouble, come and get me, because I don't want to go to, I don't want the flight crew freaking out because both pilots have died. Mm-hmm. Or they're sick, mm-hmm. wondering what they're going to do. I want them to come and get me directly. Because mm-hmm. I say to them, I at the risk of being slightly douchey, I'm looking out for the passengers, is what I'm trying to say. So I let slip that if there's a problem.
I'm a pilot.
Well, I am a pilot.
Yeah.
And I can, listen, if the plane, mm-hmm. if the plane is not injured mm-hmm. and the pilots have passed out, I can land it. Mm-hmm. It won't be pretty, but I'm getting us down. I'm getting us down,
so?
Fred.
You
Pardon?
Think so? Seriously, you
absolutely
think
I do. Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
I've done it, I don't know, I've got somewhere near 7 or 8 hours of flying those planes. I know it's not very much, but it's better than fuck all.
It's better than, hey, listen, if I'm up in the air and the pilots are down and out,
yeah.
and I find out
it's
that...
It's not like driving a boat.
At least a guy... has 7 hours, at least he's somewhat familiar. Listen, all of a sudden I feel better than I did a few minutes prior to that, right? It's like, oh, we're fucked. There's no pilots. We're dead. We're going to crash. Oh, this guy's done it before. Get him in there.
You get him in there. Let's open those doors.
It lifts your spirits a bit.
Mm-hmm. I will. And I will lift spirits. Thank you, Fred.
It's sort of like, is there a doctor on the plane?
And thank you.
I've seen that before, by the way, with heart palpitations and
yes.
things like that. Yeah.
Well, that's what I say. So I say the two things. I say I'm a pilot. And I think of myself as a physician. So if there's some trouble, come and get me.
Diagnose away.
Well, that is shoddy, saying the physician thing.
I don't say
now
that.
You're misleading people.
I don't say that. Oh, it's more okay. of a joke.
Because wouldn't that be something if something happens? Oh, we'll go back and get Mr. Glasgow.
Yeah. Oh, no.
He's a physician. You know, now what do I do?
Yeah, well... It's like, again, that episode of George when he says he's a fucking marine biologist mm-hmm. and then the whale.
Yeah. Gets the golf ball.
Gets the golf ball in the blowhole. It's just, it was funny because they were talking about that
That's
episode.
Great shit, man.
I've been rewatching, by the way, all the comedians in cars getting coffee. Mm-hmm. It's really some very smart people, very funny, smart stuff on that show. Anyway, so I just want to mention that, yes, if that sounded douchey, I accept that. It was kind of douchey, but I do it because, A, I'm kind of hoping I get a chance to fly the thing.
Oh, yeah, but lives are being saved if you do.
Lives are being... Thank you, Phil. And just to follow up a conversation we had yesterday, it actually was interesting because it was the topic of my appearance on the Ward Anderson program. The comedy show that I was on a couple nights ago talking about ageism, right? And then you mentioned you felt like there was some ageism in a tweet battle because of what? Because you were basically saying that you don't care about TFC?
No. I just said that, you know, the CFL is the second best football league in the world, and they rank like the Major League Soccer, MLS, like about 7. And I just said, yet the CFL is considered by these people as Bush League. It doesn't make sense. I said, CFC is a fad.
As a joke.
Sort of as a joke, because we've had other soccer teams roll through this town, and they've ups
several.
And downs, and
mm-hmm.
they've gone. So I just said, TFC is a fad, poking soccer fans a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's only soccer. I wasn't talking about politics or medicine or
And
fucking...
then you got busy. It was a shitstorm.
Oh, fuck, Howard. It was unbelievable.
So the reason I'm playing Adele is this email I received this morning said, hello.
Hello.
From Germany.
Ist das erste Deutschland.
Hello from the Fatherland.
Sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut. Says, last night I listened to you guys from my hotel room and heard the segment and heard the ageism chat. from our very, very dear friend, Mike Boone.
Ist Boone.
Ist Boone says, just to clarify, I said Fred sounded old when he touted the Argos and called TFC a fad. And yes, I used this cartoon. It was a cartoon of the Simpsons' little grandpa. It says,
Grandpa Simpson, yeah.
Old man yells at cloud.
Poor Abe.
Which is funny. But he says, he goes, by no way did I suggest that Fred was too old to do your show.
Well, we never said that.
He said, I'd be happy if you guys did this until you were worm food. Mm-hmm. I think the chat I heard suggested I might have said that, and he felt that was...
No, I was talking about those other tweets where guys were saying you're irrelevant and all that. That wasn't Mike.
And then Mike says, I'm no ageist. I'm pretty damn old myself. Goddamn right you are, Boone.
I agree.
I'll tell you one thing, and I appreciate you reaching out. And he signs it, Guten Morgen. Mm-hmm.
Guten Morgen, Mr.
Because he's with the Jerrys.
Meine Damen und Herren.
And Boone is, it's funny because you get over 40, which I think Mike just is. Is he over 40 yet? Probably 41 or something, right?
I would say, yeah.
It starts to spin. That clock goes crazy. And, and 1 second you're 40, and the next second you're, you know, turning 60. So, anyway, I thought that was sweet that Mike just declared it up, you know?
No doubt that Mike's a sweet boy. Just sometimes he's misguided, like all of us, right?
Hey. It is a funny cartoon, though.
Old man yells at cloud.
Although, I got into this a bit yesterday, and not to get heavy and... This whole thing about, you know, it's tough. It's like if somebody made a statement that was a black, I'd say, oh, you're too black. You're just too. You would never say that to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So then to dismiss somebody's point of view or opinion, oh, you're too old, is, to me, it's not fair.
And who said Argo fans are old?
Well, this is what I mean. And this angry middle-aged white guy, too, this is a new way of just shutting down the opinion of guys like me. Mm-hmm. And I find that quite tedious. The only thing on the Argo TFC thing, and we don't really want to get into this. My only point through all of that was TFC, they attract more people to the stadium than the Argonauts did. But my point is, the television ratings, do you know that when the TFC is on TV... The dart championships on Sportsnet get more viewers.
Yeah.
And an Argo game, they'll get like 60,000 viewers across the country. An Argo game gets like 600,000.
Oh, yeah.
So what the Argonauts have to do is work on their in-stadium fucking experience. That's what they need to do.
For sure. Yeah. I have no problem with almost anything you said except for that. Unlike other times in our lives, in 1980, right. I moved to Vancouver. The Vancouver Whitecaps were a huge deal. Bobby Leonard Doozy, it was a big deal.
Right.
And that was the first incarnation of the MLS.
When Toronto had the Blizzard?
Maybe.
That was the North American soccer.
Well, yeah, whatever it was called. Yeah. It was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And then it faded away. What's different about soccer in Canada, in North America now, is that a generation of kids have grown up playing it. Mm-hmm. So the television ratings, while that's a pretty good argument in terms of overall viewership, but in terms of soccer fans now, I don't think it's not quite apples to apples because
I totally agree.
Because guys our age will still want to tune in. Like I watched 15 minutes of CFL football this year. It was the Grey Cup.
Right.
I would never.
How many minutes of MLS?
None. Right. But the fact is,
you will Saturday night probably.
Well, tune in a little bit Saturday night. But also the idea is a whole generation of children in Canada. My kids are a great example of grew up playing and participating in soccer.
Right.
At a rate they didn't when you and I were young men in 1980.
Plus, it's a cultural thing, too. Oh,
yeah. Less than it used to be, though.
Oh, no. But what I'm saying is the fact that there's a... You know, immigration is a lot different than it was 30 years ago when the Toronto Blizzard was here. You get a lot of people going to the games because they want the soccer experience. They don't care about the caliber. They just want to get in there and chant and bang the seats and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, outside, you know, I've often said it's like NHL in Chicago. Outside of the people that go to the game, there's not a real big following. It's changing with TFC. Any given week, there's a lot more eyeballs on the Toronto Argonauts than there are on TFC. That's all.
I totally get that, but it's not quite comparable.
No.
Because I'll tell you what, there's more kids in this country participating in youth soccer.
Right.
by a factor of 100 than fucking youth football.
Or youth football is drying up.
Well, so my yeah. and when you say cultural, so in 1980 when I you know was an announcer in Vancouver and the Whitecaps were huge, it was it wasn't quite the cultural shift that it is in Toronto especially. You know, it's funny, I've often mentioned this, that Charlie Spencer to a lesser degree, but Charlie played soccer in the Oakville system for, you know, a good 8 years. And I learned through my association with those people that Oakville, Ontario has the highest subscription of youth soccer in North America. It is this juggernaut of, like, you know, they basically say if you get to rep A in Oakville, if you're a young girl or a boy, you have a pretty good chance to go to an American university, because to get to that level, it's it's really very competitive. My point is that those kids that are now in their early 20s and the cultural cohort of the type of people that have moved here, it's a big deal that you can't quite use, you know, television ratings for. But as you said yesterday, and you made a really good point, it's like a sixth or seventh tier league. It's like watching hockey in, you know, some of those little European towns.
Oh, yeah, like in Slovakia,
yeah, but, you know, the tier level down from the big European leagues.
Right. It's not Bundesliga, that's for sure.
One thing I've noticed over the years, too, it's like, you know, people can say, hey, do you watch the Jays? No, baseball's so boring. And, oh, okay. But say anything disparaging about soccer and people get their backs up. It's amazing.
Like they own the bloody sport.
But you know what? I mean, that's beautiful. That's charming. I mean, it's great, but it's just why are people get down, watch the hockey. It fucking sucks. I miss the old six-team league. Oh, okay. But say anything about soccer, and it's like, wow. And listen, this is as long as I've been in this business. That's it, people are so freaking passionate about it, and that's where we're going with it now. Like I don't know, the buzz about Saturday night, that's a big game here. But listen, I listen to a lot of sports radio. Not a lot of talk about it, believe me. Because you know why? A lot of the guys don't know how to talk about it. Like Bob McCown, I listen to his show every night. He's had no real segment about Saturday night's Major League Soccer fucking championship game. Because what do you say about it? Because most of those listeners, they're not tuned into the intricacies of soccer like they would be baseball or hockey. You can't sort of relate.
Yeah, it's not a common language for
it's
them.
It's not perfect. That's so it's interesting. And listen, 10 years from now, they might have to build an 80,000-seat stadium for TFC. I hope so.
And I'll just finish by saying, I guess it was, I'm trying to think how old she is now, but, you know, five or six, seven years ago, when it was, you know, the dads and moms took the kids to the first TFC game. I'd never been to a soccer game in person, like a big one. And I'd gone, I guess after that, I've been to maybe three or four. But the first time I saw it, I was pretty blown away by the activity of the crowd. And I think I came back, and I remember saying this on the show, but that first experience was, I'd never seen a sporting event in Toronto that rivaled that.
With that enthusiasm.
And for a nothing game on a Saturday afternoon that I barely knew what was going on. I just know the kids enjoyed it, and me and the dads were like freaking the fuck out.
But,
you know?
But see, this is where we get back to the cultural thing. That's culture, because that's the way people, that's what people do at soccer games in Europe. You know, it's an event. You go and you have your chants and you have your dance or whatever it is. And people sort of miss that or find out about it or told about it from the old country, whatever. And they want to do that. And that's great for TFC, because the in-game experience, I mean, that's half the battle, right? Like you go to an Argo game and everybody sits. You go to a Leaf game, people sit in their hands.
Yeah, we're pretty we're a pretty uptight culture.
When it comes to that.
And again, that was pretty early on in the, how long has TFC been in town? Like 10 years?
2003, if memory serves me right.
So 7 was their first season.
So just over 10 years. So that was pretty early on, but everyone seemed to know what they were doing. There was all these chants everyone knew, and there was all these moments in the game, corner kicks and things like that.
And here's another thing about TFC, a lot of those years were profoundly incompetent.
Oh, no, they were horrible.
And still had a following.
Oh, yeah. So, mainly because, as you said, people missed that experience. And Canadians that had not had that experience, like me, I remember coming away from that first one, and I said to Charlie, if that ever happens again, count me in. I'd like to go. It was fun.
The only thing is, this summer, when I was in Italy, and my buddy Darren, he's into soccer and all the European soccer and stuff like that, we found out that Roma, one of the big teams in Rome, had a home game when we were there. And I thought, he said, you want to go? And I said, yeah, I want to go for the experience. I've never been to a TFC game, I got to be honest, for whatever reason. And I said, yeah, I want that experience. I want to be in Europe and go to a game. Well, it was interesting because we went, this huge stadium, Olympic-sized stadium, there was probably 70,000 people there for this game, and the crowd was much like a Toronto. They didn't, there wasn't the chanting, there wasn't the, it was, and Darren, who's been to several games in England where they're fucking crazy, said, yeah, this is a completely different experience. Being at that soccer game in Rome, for Roma, was a lot like being at a Leaf game. The people were very
reserved.
Yeah, it was actually a disappointing experience. And as he said, what you have to do is go to some of these inner city games in England. Mm-hmm. And that's what a TFC game is. Mm-hmm. These people are fucking over the top, right? So,
yeah, it's funny because the only time I could compare it to hockey-wise, excuse me, is when I moved to Montreal. The first game I ever saw at the old Forum was a Saturday night exhibition game. I've told this story. I'll do it quick. It was the Montreal Canadiens and the old Quebec Nordique, or as we say in Quebec, Nordique. And I remember I went with somebody from the radio station. It might have even been Lumbee. And I wasn't prepared for the sound the place made. Because prior to that, I'd only been going to L.A. Kings games, the odd time, where there's no fucking sound. And I was sort of, we took our seats, and it was like, it was an exhibition game.
Right.
And the entire place was in a frenzy for the whole game. But again, it's cultural. People there are more demonstrative. They're more effusive or whatever.
Passioned.
Passion, thank you. You know where, you know the only other place I've been recently where you get that kind of passion? Sleep Country Canada, Fred. When people go in, the noise those people are making, when they buy a bed, greatest place.
Greatest place.
Greatest place.
Hey, it's the boxing week.
Is that your Trump?
Yeah.
Greatest place.
It's the boxing week.
Sleep Country, best country.
Hey, how about this? They have pillows on sale this week. Oh, yes, they do. Your choice of any three for $29 each, okay? And these are top-notch, wonderful pillows. All the biggest name brands. Check them out. They have sheets on sale. $49.95, all sizes and colors. 320 thread count. That's quality, brother. Sleep Country Canada, check out their e-flyer. It'll show you everything that's on offer this week. Sleep Country Canada, why buy a mattress anywhere else?
If you want to see a picture of me in the Trump mask that I bought my friend Mike Muzzin when I was in Delray Beach, it's on Facebook.
Yours?
The picture of me in the mask? Yeah, I was here. Oh. Phil took a picture of it before I left yesterday.
No, it's on your Facebook?
No, it's on our Facebook.
Okay.
Greatest picture
ever.
Greatest picture, greatest Trump mask on offer at a candy store. You know what else
it's
is good?
It's no wonder, people call a pizza when they're hungry for the very, very best of pizza.
One of the biggest sporting teams this city's got is your Raptors and Pizza. As a limited edition, Raptors carry out pizza bag. Drop in for a medium cheese pizza and a reusable carry-out bag to keep your pizza hot and fresh. All for just $9.99. Pizza, the official pizza of the Toronto Raptors. Just quickly before we go to our first break, you were talking about, we were talking about being too old or, you know, going back and forth about being a certain age. And I liked your point, actually. You'd never say, oh, you know, this or that about somebody's ethnicity. But you have no people have no problem going, oh, well, yeah, why don't you shut up, old white guy?
Because here you have no control. You have no more control over age than you do over your race. You know what I mean?
Well, so, you know, it's funny, too, because I was watching an interview yesterday with a guy from Texas A&M University that are bringing in that dude that's, he's the white supremacist.
The guy from the Ku Klux Klan? Or
well, no,
about
he's
someone else?
Trump's, he's somewhere.
Oh, yeah, his,
Don, what's his name?
Gordon or whatever.
The Breitbart guy?
No.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, yeah.
Well, the point is, and the guy's interviewing this racist, white racist, what did I say, Texas A&M? Texas speaker, it's a big controversy. Yeah, it's hang on, I want to get the guy's name because we're going to be hearing a lot about it. Richard Spencer is his name. Oh, he's the guy from the video with the Ku Klux Klan.
It is conquer.
He's talking. He's the guy. He's a Trump supporter, and there's that video of him.
Oh, they had a ceremony of them hailing Trump out of all things.
They were high hailing. Is that what it's called?
High hail. It's off to Trump.
Was,
we go.
High hailing Trump.
Yeah.
I was going somewhere else, but you made an interesting pivot there. So this guy's talking. He's being interviewed. They're interviewing this guy from Texas A&M, who's a white supremacist, about bringing in this guy who's a super white supremacist. Mm. And the guy asked him. He said, do you really think there's any difference in human beings because of the pigment of their skin? Mm-hmm. Like the CNN reporter, like, really, do you really believe that? Mm-hmm. That somehow because somebody's skin is a different color. And this guy was saying, well, it's not just the skin. You know, it's the cultural sound. You know, it's why wouldn't I want a white America? I'm white. Why would I want my race to be marginalized and whatever? He said, that's fine. But you still believe that somehow somebody with a different color skin is less than... It's absurd when you think about it.
You know, those are two different issues.
Yes.
I mean, look where I live in Brampton. You know, a lot of South Asian people want to live together. You know what I mean? They want to create communities of... And that's fine. You know what I mean? Then you can choose, do you want to be part of that or not be part of that? It's a free country. But to say that the reason you wouldn't want to be part of that is because you're superior is just ridiculous. You know, and all, it's a very simple explanation here. It's procreation. If you can procreate with a black, like, you know what I mean? If you have
sex, we're the same species.
We're the same species.
And I know.
So if you had sex with a black person and you couldn't get them pregnant because you're of a different species, well, there might be an argument. Like, are you fucking crazy?
Exactly.
These people are nuts.
No, uh-huh. It's all bizarre. Like, seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, I've tried to mate with Stan. It's not working. All right. I know. We got to go, though, because we got to get the retirement Sherpa. He's coming on. We got a lot of stuff to get to. I actually, on my way to my point about ageism, we'll get to that at some point, because I'm doing a stand-up show tonight with a bunch of young people at a very a type of venue I've never performed at before.
Fuck, I might come.
Dude, once you hear where it is, I guarantee you won't.
Okay.
And remember, it's at night after you go to bed.
Okay, I won't.
Okay. It's Humble and Fred Radio, minutes away from giving away massive amounts of meat. Humble and Fred's 12 Days of Meatmas starts today on Sirius XM.
Hey guys, this is Amanda Brooke Perrin, and you're listening to Canada Laughs on Sirius XM.
Treaty signed. That was not cut.
HumbleAndFredRadio.com. That's where you get us when you aren't getting us live on Sirius XM. What's our phone number, Felicia?
1-855-662-4743.
Now, that's important to know.
1-855-662-4743.
All right. It's important because we're just minutes away from the beginning of the 12 days of meat. It's beginning to look a lot like meat.
It's a wonderful meat.
That's right.
Meat, actually.
On the first day of meat, my girl said to me, meat and more meat. Right now, please welcome back to our program. He is indeed the man with the plan. The retirement Sherpa, Tim Niblett. Hello, Nibsy Doodle.
Good morning, everybody, and a special hello and congrats to Sir Phil from his big last week exploits there.
Oh, thanks so much, Tim.
He says, thanks so much,
thanks
Tim.
So much.
I heard that. My pleasure. I didn't know I was supposed to be thanked for being thanked or something like that.
Well, you know what? We're nothing on this show if not very polite.
And it is a holiday season, so we're all thankful.
Yes, it is the holiday season. It's crazy. You know, I look at the date here, December 7th. It is crazy when you think about it, eh? How it rolls by. And, you know, this is also the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, eh? So show some respect, everyone. But December 7th, like, Christmas is 2 weeks from Saturday or Sunday?
Well, it's also
fucking
significant.
Nuts.
In Tim's world, this is a time of year people got to start thinking about, you know, a few deadlines and some things around the idea of financial planning at the end of the year. What are the year-end tax strategies, Timothy?
Well, thanks for asking so much. There's a couple things you need to do before December 31st if it's going to be a benefit to you for 2016. RSPs, it's 60 days into the year, so you've got till March 1st of next year to decide how much, if at all, you should put into that. And in future weeks, we can talk about whether you should fund a TFSA or an RSP. One of the things is just tax loss selling. If you haven't been with the Sherpa and your investments have gone down, you can create a capital loss, which could help out your tax situation for next year. Now, you have to have some gains to apply it against, but it is something that doesn't change the reality necessarily what your portfolio is. Could allow you to make a change if that's a benefit, and you could have some tax savings as well.
A lot of people claim they can't afford RSPs, so they don't buy any at all. And I think a lot of people look at it from a maximum standpoint, but again, as a financial man, an advisor, somebody that knows all the ins and outs, it's just buy something, right, Tim? Like, it doesn't have to be the max. I mean, anything helps to, against your overall tax bill.
Every bit matters, absolutely, Fred. Bang on. Got to have the plan, of course, as we always talk about. But it does depend, too, depending if you had a year where sometimes if people change their jobs throughout the year and they didn't make as much as normal, they might not make a contribution against this year. Maybe a TFSA, to your point of putting it into something for sure for the future. You got to do that, absolutely. But that's where the tax planning comes in, whether it's the best year to make an RSP contribution or max one out or save it for a year in which you make more money. As an example, a lot of the listeners and or their kids, if you're younger, if you're 25 and you're starting out, you probably don't want to use your RSP too much because you're not making enough money to get a big tax break, yet that dollar of room is going to be gone forever. So if we're 35, 40 and up, probably makes a lot of sense to take full advantage of it.
Right on.
Just a couple quick things here, Tim. You talked about RSPs. You talked about, maybe selling off some of your losses. What are the other, absolutes people have to think about before the December 31st deadline?
Yeah, there's not a lot others left, unfortunately, for Canadians. One thing that isn't December 31st deadline, but it's an important change, is that starting next year's tax return, if you sold your principal residence, you're going to have to show that you did that and file for a personal residence exemption. The rules of how it's taxed are no different, but just the reporting of it is. And that could be a huge difference, of course, with what people have been selling their homes for. The one thing that is timely, and even that timing and availability will be run out within about a week, if not two, are for flow-through shares where you can invest in resources, be it minerals, energy, and get 100 to 115% deduction, especially if you don't have enough RSP room. It could be something that works out well.
It's funny you talked about real estate. I was having a discussion with my friend Dan Duran, who has a friend that is really basically somebody that buys homes, fixes them up, and flips them. And for the longest time, they didn't need to report that in that line on the tax return. And he was mentioning that as of next year, even if you aren't claiming capital gains, you are going to have to start to report that as a CRA line item, right?
Absolutely. Schedule 3 of your T1 tax return, of course.
Well, I'll tell you, if we ever needed you, we need you more now than ever, Tim, in these troubled times. Tim is a portfolio manager, and Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. If you're wondering about a Christmas gift, Tim, this year, we've just signed a new sponsor, carnivoreclub.co, and we would offer this to you and your American friends to give the gift of meat.
I heard them the other day. That's some pretty tasty sounding stuff, that's for sure.
Dude, I ate it. I don't even eat meat. Thank you, Timmy.
That's a ringing endorsement. Enjoy and profit all. Have a fantastic week.
And don't forget, let's give out your email.
It would be tim.niblett@raymondjames.ca. Obviously on the beautiful Humble and Fred site there, Retirement Sherpa, and retirementsherpa.ca.
All right, Sherpa.
See you, Sherps.
You're good.
Have fun all. Miss you. Love you.
Talk to you soon, pal. Take care. Todd Shapiro, his show on every afternoon this week from New York City.
The whole week?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then next week, he's got his little Christmas thing called Chirp Fest with our friend and his friend, K. Trevor Wilson. I believe that is next week.
Where?
I wish I wouldn't have started this.
It's going to be a remote broadcast?
No, I think Toddy's doing the show at it's a little fun thing at night.
Mm.
And I just want to make sure I'd let everyone know where it is because, yeah, there is. Todd Shapiro Chirp Fest is. I don't know why I start these things. God.
Well, at least it's, you know, it's made people aware that something's going on. And
something's going on.
If they're interested, they will pursue Howard. It's all right.
I know it's all right. It's fine. It's just fine. It's just weird. I can't find that. No, I can't. I'm on his site. There's nothing there. It's either the 14th or the 16th. Mm-hmm. The 14th, I think, is Carnivore Club's thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the 16th would be Toddy's thing.
Right.
It's one of those.
Okay.
Phil, can you find this for me? It's called Chirp Fest.
Okay, looking it up.
Looking it up. I think we should also talk about our good friends at Mitsubishi Motors. Because they're doing some great things for the holiday season. Now that December's here, it's time to start thinking about Mitsubishi Motors of Canada.
Yes, you're right, Howard. And there's wonderful things going on there right now. And I'm just getting my thing up here right now so I can share that with you.
Take your time.
It's the country's smallest car company. Time.
It's the what?
It's the country's smallest car company, as they say.
How about Chirp Fest? You find that yet?
Yes, I have.
Have you found it?
It's December 14th, 8 p.m.
Oh, okay.
It's at 77 Peter Street.
Todd's thing's a week from today. Carnivore Club has got their thing a week from Friday. It's a full week next week of appearances and fun, and we invite all our friends to take part in, you know, whatever.
Mitsubishi, Howard.
Yeah.
With the purchase of select new vehicles, there are no payments for up to 90 days. And, hey, you need a vehicle now, and, you know, it's an expensive time of year. You wouldn't buy the vehicle now. You don't have to pay for 90 days. You got to love that. And as part of it, the no-charge winter tire package, up to $1,400 in extra values. This includes the tires, the wheels, the balancing, the installation. And how about this 2017 Mirage? If you're in the market for a car and you don't have a lot of money to spend, but you want quality, how about the 2017 Mirage? Just $9,998. Under 10 grand for a quality vehicle, which is backed up with a great warranty. Mitsubishi Canada, get her done.
The countdown is on, 3 minutes away from day one of the 12 days of meat.
Meat.
Of course, you mentioned the Squatty Potty and our people that helped us crowdfund the shitter. We really can't afford to send you the potties. So your potty,
right?
You $100 donators, your potty will be here. That's all I can say. And the funny thing is, as I mentioned, when I was away for a week, I really have, it's been so long since I've eliminated without the potty. You forget how, I guess your body just gets used to it.
Yeah.
Because I was not eliminating at the feverish rate I'm used to with the Squatty Potty.
Yeah, that can be, you might want to get yourself one of the travel ones.
Well, you can do that.
No, I know you can do that.
I was on the Squatty Potty site the other day. It really is pretty cool, all the different things you can get. They've got so many, you know, little items that you can get, whether it's travel potties or, you know, things. There's a potty that shoots water up your bum.
Oh.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, really? Yeah. Titillating.
Bummelating.
Yeah, it's... You know, it's so funny now with the internet. How come when I go Squatty Potty, all I get are Amazon, all these other sites?
Oh, these are great places to buy the Squatty
they
Potty.
They are, Phyllis.
Best thing to do is go to our website, Howard, and click on Squatty Potty.
It's the third link. Oh, there it is. Yeah. You go on the Squatty Potty, squattypotty.com. First of all, they got this beautiful raven-haired goddess.
You know she's regular.
Well, yeah. And it's funny, I'm so attracted to that type. The dark hair, mm-hmm. you know, sort of beautiful skin, nice area, but then and she's holding a Squatty Potty. And all I can think of is, damn, her area is got to be so pristine. Mm-hmm. Because you know she uses that thing. Anyway, there's all kinds of different items. There's you can put the unicorn gold spray into the bath water, oh, yeah. the poo water. There's even, by the way, I might even get this. There's a unicorn poop shirt, and it's a unicorn pooping soft serve ice cream. There's another great T-shirt you can order from Squatty Potty. It says, "I pooped today." And it's a guy on a potty with his hands up in the air.
Oh, yeah. It's a play on I Voted Today, right?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Phyllis.
That's fantastic.
It is. It's all there for you. You can order them from Amazon.com, Squatty Potty, as well as Canadian Tire, Bed Bath & Beyond. And
directly. Can,
directly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So there you go.
Excellent.
So we've never really done this before, but we're going to do it now. Trying to find the music for you here. There's a lot of pausing on today's show, but that's fine. Not everything has to be rapid fire.
No, often with the pauses, right? That's very suspenseful.
Oh yeah, contemplating.
People are just sitting there going, "What are they going to say next?"
Okay, Phil, here we go. You just do the female part. I'll do the.
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's meat outside.
I've got to go away.
But baby, it's meat outside.
This evening has been.
Was hoping that you'd give me some meat.
So very nice.
I'll take your meat. Your meat's cold as ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Anyway, 12 days of meat begins today.
Excellent.
Baby, it's. Oh, man.
Baby, it's meat outside.
This is the greatest, though. Please don't hurt about it. Put some records on while I pour. Baby, it's meat out there.
And there's meat.
Nope, meat to be had out there. Your eyes are like meat
right now.
Meat curtains. Okay, so.
Juice. Ribeye.
Prosciutto. Funny, the other day Spencer and I were here in the studio. She was singing along with some stuff, and then her and I did this together, and I was doing pretty good until we got to the actual singing part.
Oh, right.
Honestly, I sound like I'm being tortured. I do. But she sings it really nicely.
Oh, yeah, I bet. The female part, of course.
I bet.
Yeah. Anyway, so here's the deal. Our number is 1-855-662-4743. In the last couple days, we've had such great participation already from the Hundy Peas. Where's the one from Jeremy tonight? Jeremy Tebby, boom. He's actually not just ordered one. He's subscribed to the Meat of the Month Club.
Mm-hmm. And he loves meat.
He loves meat.
Well, he makes a fine jerky.
He does. Mm-hmm. CarnivoreClub.co. Give the gift of meat. And if you use the promo code Humble and Fred, you'll get 10% off. But right now and continuing on until the final day before we are finished, which I believe our last day is the what, the 22nd?
22nd.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then we're putting together an amazing best of show. We're going to talk about that. We're going to do our normal best of, but we're going to do a Humble and Fred 2016 look back, right?
And it's a real challenge because, you know, we've only got 2 hours and, you know, when we're talking of a best of for the year. I mean, really, the show could be 10, 12 hours long, right?
We need our own channel.
You know, need our own fucking channel. That's right.
Highlights of 2016 over and over again.
Let's stick to 2 hours and see if we can fill that. So I thought we would start off because we're doing the 12 days of meat with Carnivore Club.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, the meet yesterday was insane. Let's take the 12th caller, because we're doing 12 days.
Right,
so
we're okay.
So your 12th caller through at 1-855-662-4743. We have our people standing by, and we'll
we
get to...
We have people standing by.
People by, standing
Look at them
by.
Standing over there.
It's the meat line.
Look at it light up. Look at it light up.
Somebody else also, while we're waiting for the 12th caller... Somebody else bought some meat, too. Oh, yeah, here it is. Jeremy Tebby, another guy.
Mm-hmm. I think we have it.
Do you think we got 12 callers there? Okay.
This is it.
Let's do it. And it, by the way, it can be from anywhere in North America. Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
It's the Humble and Fred Show. Why are you calling?
I would like some meat.
Excellent. Yay! That's right. Promo code Humble and Fred or I like meat.
What's your name, sir?
My name's Dave. I'm a Hundy P member, but I just have never been compelled to call until I could get some free shit.
Oh, there you go. That's wonderful. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from London.
London, Ontario.
You got it.
All right. That's great.
Well, listen, and he said your name was Dave. Dave.
Dave, who wants free shit. That's what he said.
Here's the thing, Dave. We need you to email us your shipping details.
Okay.
The one thing we didn't really work out is... here's what we'll do. Phil, you get over there and just get a couple of details from Dave.
Okay. Yeah, I think we should do it this way. I'll hand him the phone.
Yeah, hand him the phone. And all we'll do is we'll get some details from Dave so that a bunch of people... Because I know our audience. A bunch of people are going to say, I'm Dave from London. Here's my fucking details.
No, I know. And the thing is, the phones are going crazy. Should I have done, I'm sorry, you're caller number 9, sir, and then got, no, I'm sorry, you're caller number 10? Or do you think that's too cheesy?
I don't know.
How about you give me your postal code? Because we'll just match the address along with that.
Go do it off the air.
And how do we, and you know, we want to acknowledge all those who phoned in and we couldn't get to the phone. Remember, this is, we're lean and mean here. So we don't have call screeners. So we appreciate you calling and maybe we couldn't acknowledge that, right?
Sure.
Because I would love to pound on all these.
Pound them.
Look at the fucking things lighting up like a Christmas tree.
Well, what we'll do is every day for the next 11 days, you can join Dave from London.
Thanks, Dave.
By the way, happy holidays.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you as well, guys. Thanks.
Okay, man. So, yeah, Phil, just take it off the air.
There we go.
Can you hear him, Phil?
Hello? Can I hear you?
Can you hear him?
Hello?
No. There you go. Now
there
try.
You go,
can you hear him now?
Are you still on the phone?
Hello? Okay, put him on hold. This is what you're going to have to do. Put him on hold. All right. And then...
We should have been there with the arrow.
Okay, put him back on the air. This is Dave. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, here, Dave.
If
do me a
favor.
If you
pick up the phone, I think it'll override.
Really try it.
Here,
see if that works.
No,
it won't.
No, it
Dave,
it doesn't.
Yeah,
David.
Sir.
What the fuck? How come we didn't work out this part?
This is a shitstorm.
No, I know. That's typical.
I love the fact.
Hold on a
that
sec.
Dave's
I'm
not,
try
I love the fact that Dave is so part of the show. He knows this is a shit storm.
It is.
Why can't we figure
Dave.
It out?
Dave.
Dave.
That's ridiculous. He should be on there.
Dave, you still there?
Now he's here.
Yes, I'm here.
Well. There's something wrong there. I should be able to, when the arrow's over on that side, I should be able to talk to him.
Oh, good for you. Dave, here's what I want you to do. Dave?
Dave.
Fuck
me and everything about me. I'm going to try again.
Good. You try again. This is brutal.
Hey, why don't I just...
Hey, what Dave had a suggestion. I love Dave's part of it. Dave, what's your suggestion?
What's your suggestion?
I'll email you my number, and then you guys call me whenever you want.
That's
right.
Good.
It has to be Dave.
Right on, brother.
It's got to be that guy.
Fucking A.
Yeah, I'm sure people are looking to listen to me, so let's get me off the phone.
Yeah, you email us, humbleandfred at humbleandfredradio.com, and then we'll have Phil call you back. Okay.
No, this phone book is great. I'm going to try one more thing. Hold on, Dave.
Hold on. Okay. Let's try one more thing. And then what? Okay.
We're just discovering our phone system 3 years later.
Okay, so for you other people...
Hi, Dave, you're back.
Okay, fuck. Yeah. Dave, just email us your phone number and we'll call you back, okay?
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right, buddy, thanks.
Well, that was great.
And we're going to be doing this every day. For the next 12 days.
12 days.
Cheers, thanks, guys.
I can't wait for 11 more days of Dave. Dave, is your phone work? Fucking Dave. Hang up.
It's a great bit route.
See you, Dave.
Okay. Ciao.
Yeah, that was good, though.
Ciao.
Sir, it worked out great. CarnivoreClub.co. And this is a great gift for the man or woman meat lover in your life. And it's not just, it's special, artisanal. Is that the way you say that?
Oh, yes, artisanal.
But these are beautiful. It's like, they're made by the finest people that make meat.
Meat people.
Delicious.
And
there's a little bit.
Local artisans, one-of-a-kind taste experiences.
There's some left from yesterday. Maybe during the next break I'll go down and slice it.
Or we have that special French thing that, to run.
The meat cutter.
Yeah.
I'll circumcise you with that fucker.
You know, I don't know. Some days I have no trouble finding things. And then today, for some reason, I can't find. Like I mentioned that Jeremy bought some meat.
Yes.
I mentioned another dude. Did I have you print that? Maybe I didn't. Another guy. Oh, here, Adam Warner. He says, Doc and Trailer Man, another fantastic show. Just a quick note to tell you how pumped I am for my box of meat to come from Carnivore Club. And he went with the special Christmas box with the Humble and Fred discount.
Oh.
Loving the new sponsor. Congratulations on the new studio. And he says at the end, glad you got your shit together with the Levels connections. Definitely some growing pains, but sounds great now. You know, with the exception of the fact we can't talk to somebody on the phone.
No.
That's a solvable problem.
Oh, sure. Probably. Yeah.
I think it is.
You know what? The song Christmas Meat is probably better than Christmas Shoes. Most likely. Mm-hmm.
And now I'm on my phone trying to figure out why Uchi can't find us.
Oh, really?
He's saying east or west. It's just 956 the Queensway.
East or west?
I don't know what that means.
Well, there isn't really a Queensway east, is there?
Islington.
That becomes Queen Street.
Okay.
So
Uchi's
west.
Coming in. Mm-hmm. So great. And here's what I want you to do, Phil. Mm-hmm. I want you to take that whole section off, send it to Tim Ray at Carnivore Club. All right, very good. Exciting times. I know it seems like we just talked about a sponsor for 11 minutes, but it was part of a bit, man. And you know what?
You know, the best part of that bit was the phone bit.
Oh, so good.
Like we know how the phones work. We just thought that would be fucking madcap.
Yeah, that was it. That old phone thing, rehearsed. Dave, part of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a legitimate winner.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Without a doubt.
So tonight I'm doing a stand-up show at a place. It's called. It's a place where they. It's a 420 friendly club.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Okay.
So is it one of those private clubs where you buy a ticket and you go to the back and then smoke something and then watch something?
I don't know how it works, and I promise at some point in this discussion I will have the name of the place.
Right.
It's nothing too obvious like Weedopolis, is
no,
it?
No, comedy. It's Rob Bevanek is the kid that got me on this show. There's going to be quite a few people that have been on our show. Mm-hmm. Michelle Shaughnessy, mm-hmm. Arthur Simeon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit curious how this goes because I mentioned I've never... Oh, it's called Puff Mama. Go to puffmama.ca.
That's the name of the place?
Yes, it's an underground cafe, social club, comedy club in Toronto in the East End.
Right.
It's like Queen and Broadview.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
and I'm just trying to find some rooms to do some minutes. I'm going to start doing this a couple times a week. It's winter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got no golf. Got
to practice somewhere.
Got to practice. I got some, have long-term plans. I want to get some reps in, and I want to get some stage time. So I'm going where I go. So tonight I'm going to be at this place called Puff Mama. Now, I've never smoked weed before I've gone on stage.
Are they asking you to? Or
no,
are
you don't have to.
Or? Okay.
One time years ago, I was headlining at a club in Vancouver, and I think I've told this story. On the way to the club, so when you headline, if the show starts at 8, you're not getting on until 9 or 9.15. You do your 45, and they reset and do another show. So at around 7, 7.15, I'm driving to the club in a cab, and he says, "Hey, man, you want to..." And he was a Jamaican gentleman. It's a true story. He said, "We're talking about our appreciation of weed," and he says, "Man, you want to try some?" I'm like, "Yes, I do," thinking I got a couple hours before I got to go on. It would probably have worn off by then. I was wrong. It had not worn off. And I remember starting my show, and in those days, I was doing my act every night, so I kind of knew my routine, and at some point, I was saying these words, and I really couldn't have told you where I was. I mean, where I was in my act. So tonight, I'm doing about 6 or 7 minutes, maybe whatever, or less. Does it seem like a lot of trouble to go to go and do seven minutes on stage?
No, no. It's a passion of yours. You just explained why you want to do it. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
But it's 7 minutes. Anyway, so I'm going
But does it matter really whether it's 7 minutes or...
No, because it's all stage time.
No, exactly.
The only thing is the show starts at 9:30.
Oh, now that's...
I know.
That's an issue.
Well, it's not midnight.
No, the funny thing is that thing I did with Ward a couple nights ago where we didn't start taping and being energetic, funny comedians till like 11:45 p.m. You know, it took me all day yesterday to recover. I'm not a young man. Like, I was tired yesterday. I had a two-hour nap, and I went to bed at, you know, 9:30. But anyway, it's called Puff Mama. If you're in the area, east end of Toronto, I'm going to be on there. And like I said, it's some pretty good comedians. Yeah, it's an open mic. I think it's called Dope and Mic Comedy. Anyway, but the people in the audience apparently are allowed to smoke marijuana while the show's going on. And you made this point last week. How are these clubs allowed to do that when you can't smoke cigarettes in them? I don't know.
Well, they probably make it a private club, issue tickets.
Well, I think somebody mentioned that. It's interesting, though. I was reading an article yesterday. I just skimmed it. I don't know the minute details. But the Prime Minister, a little bit of an about-face, he has encouraged, especially here in Toronto, law enforcement to crack down on some of these dispensaries. The point being, you just have to wonder, dispensaries, private club, whatever, you know, because what is the status of marijuana? Legal, illegal, somewhere in the middle right now, you know, and we're still way up in the air when it comes to all this shit.
Well, I mentioned that there's this place near the dispensary that I frequent in Kensington Market where around the corner, I guess, I'm not sure, I guess it's Augusta Street?
Yes.
Where you walk in and you pay a $5 fee and you see people, whatever they're doing, vaporizing or smoking joints, I still don't get... If you're, listen, are you saying if we turn this room into a private club, we can allow smoking inside here?
Oh, it's likely. Yeah, most likely. Because it's not a public venue.
That just seems weird to me.
Right. It's not open to the public, per se.
Yeah, I guess. But even private clubs, like I've been at a private men's golf club this summer. You can't smoke inside the clubhouse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Legally, or is that just what they wish?
That is a great question. I do not know.
Because the thing is, even if you could legally, but it makes... And I... What would you say now? What would be the ratio of smokers to non-smokers?
20%.
Generally?
20% of the population still smokes cigarettes.
That's it? So again, so whether it's legal or not, if I'm running an establishment, I go, you know, I'm a little more concerned about the 80% than the 20%. So, foggy. Which is a pretty cool thing, the way this has worked through the system. Because remember...
Sorry. That just flashed on me being in front of a bunch of stone kids tonight. Sorry, go ahead.
No, no. Just think about when they first instituted the restaurant and bar no smoking policies. You know, it was a huge issue. And it's like, oh, geez, I'm not going to go out anymore and all this. Well, all these many years later... I would say the vast majority of people, the reason they do go out now is because they don't have to put up with cigarette smoke. Because to a lot, a guy like me, I couldn't go into a bar at night with the smoke. I couldn't. That's what I used to think of. Oh, fuck, I'll go in there. My eyes will hurt. I'll smell like smoke. No. Well, that's not even an issue now for 80% of the population.
Two things that stand out for me about what you said, though, is when this became law 10 or 15 years ago,
whenever
the people that,
was. That
were complaining also mm-hmm. were the bar and club owners thinking they were going to lose all this business. When now a generation again has come up that have never been in a bar where you could smoke.
Remember, though, they got fucked. A lot of the bar owners, because remember a lot of them built smoking areas mm-hmm. in their bars.
And they also, smoking rooms.
And at great expense.
Yeah.
And then later legislation said no smoking at all, so mm-hmm. then they had to rip those things down.
And then they built those areas outside where they sort of have heaters mm-hmm. in a sort of... But as you say, mm-hmm. 80% of the people now aren't desirous of that.
No.
And so it's a non-issue.
It's just a wonderful thing to go into an establishment now and not have that as part of...
But as I say, if you came of age, like if you're Charlie or even Danny's age...
Yeah.
You know, 22 or 29 or 30.
Right.
It really has been most of your grown up times when you've been allowed to go into bars has been smoke free.
Yesterday, I had some business downtown. I was on the 48th floor of the Scotiabank Tower. Right. And
yes,
now
sir.
They have laws. There's laws in the city. Not only can you not smoke inside, but you can't smoke within mm-hmm. 100 feet of the front door.
No,
whatever it is. What is it?
20 feet or so.
Oh, is it?
But whatever. Yeah, you have to be away from the entrance.
So you know when it's like downtown around those big towers, the wind whips up more than it would generally, just all the wind tunnels created? So I walk out of there yesterday about 12:30, and the packs of people standing outside, no coat on, because, hey, if you work on the 48th floor and you have a break and you want to smoke... On the elevator, down the elevator, out the front door. There's no real time maybe to throw on a coat or whatever, or your whatever the situation. The people standing out front there, huddled, obviously uncomfortable, but more important to them to have that cigarette in their mouth than anything else. And I just thought, how bizarre is that? Like, if you stepped outside to be cold and uncomfortable just because you want the cigarette.
Well, I mean...
It's a sad thing, really.
The thing I thought, and it's funny you brought it up, as often happens with us, I saw somebody smoking recently in front of a building. Maybe mm-hmm. It might have even been on the way into the airport in Florida last week.
Right.
And I saw a few smokers feverishly puffing in some nicotine before they went through this whole process of air travel.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you can no longer... pretend that what you're doing is satisfying and enjoyable because what you look like is somebody who's just trying to get their drug.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the reasons that, you know, Alan Carr's method is so easy, because once you admit to yourself, you're not smoking because you enjoy it. You're just smoking because you're kind of addicted to nicotine. There's nothing enjoyable about mm-hmm. what you describe.
Mm-hmm.
Going down 48 mm. floors, standing out there, all they're doing is trying to get their hit
mm-hmm.
of nicotine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I laughed about tonight is because, you know, I've been told that a pot audience, either they laugh a lot or they don't really laugh much. They just kind of go... Mm-hmm. But I guarantee, and it's happened to me recently because I was on this other show doing stand-up, I will be the oldest person in that room. And it's kind of funny to me because I literally walk on stage and I look around and it's a bunch of kids. You know, whether they're 35 and under, that's kind of the demo of a comedy club. And in this club, it's going to be even younger. And I think, what are they thinking? It's like, oh, great, here's a... One of my mom and dad's friends is on stage talking about weed.
Uh-oh.
I do have some, you know, it's funny. I wrote this joke a long time ago about being an older person that uses marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you this? You know, when you're younger, you ever had this experience when you were younger, a young man, and you maybe got a little high and you got paranoid and wished you weren't high, or you felt anxious?
Yeah, many times.
Exactly. Everyone's had that experience. And my joke is basically, when you're younger and you feel anxious, you think maybe I'm having a heart attack,
mm-hmm.
but you realize, no, it's just the weed.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're my age, you could be having a
heart attack.
But you get, so you're high, you think you're having a heart attack, you call the paramedics, they come over, it's like, they're doing their call, 56-year-old white male, shallow breathing, fingers are like cheesies,
mm-hmm.
it's got cheesy, what's that, sir? He's mumbling something. What's he saying? Have you got any hummus? but It's going to be funny being a guy 56 years old talking to these kids who are all stoned tonight, but I don't care. You know, it's part of the adventure.
Easy for me to say, but I would try not to think of it from that perspective. Because they're coming there to be entertained, and you will entertain them.
Sure, I will. But, I mean, part of the perspective of stand-up or any entertainment is to be authentic. I can't walk out there 30 years older than everybody in the room and not acknowledge it. You know, I mean...
I guess,
It's.
Oh, so how are you going to acknowledge it?
I did it last week. It worked well. I just say, I know what you're thinking.
Pull the top of your pants down and show them your diaper.
Yes. I know what you're thinking. If anyone in this room is wearing a diaper, yeah. It's that guy. I actually like that. I know what you're thinking. Hey, if we need a diaper, I'll bet you that guy's got some. You're probably thinking, hey, I hope this old man doesn't shit himself.
On stage.
Depends.
That's right.
My little line was just, hey, great, one of my parents' friends showed up. Mm-hmm. But I like the diaper line.
Use it.
I'm going to record it.
$14.
Oh, fuck. You're hilarious. $14. Great. All right. Listen, we got to take a break. We're going to end our year with Dr. Uchi Odiatu. It'll be interesting to see what Uchi thinks about the idea of preparing for the new year in advance of the new year. Maybe the idea is to not wait until January 1st to make some changes. Start thinking about those now. I know what you're thinking. This man may have shit himself in his own pants.
Aim to not have diapers.
That's right. It's Humble and Fred Radio around North America on Sirius XM, around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. More meat tomorrow.
Hey, this is Chris Hardwick, and you're listening to Canada Laughs on Sirius XM, which you know because you're in Canada, and hopefully you're laughing. Balls?
He doesn't really need them. Dr. Uchi's spectacles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
They're blue.
Let me get a shot of those.
You might be a bit old for those. Kidding.
Yeah, Dr. Uchi's here. Let me see. Well, when will I look at you? Let me see here. Wait, you're talking to the mic there, friend.
Glasses can be to fashion on the right person.
God, these are cool.
Yeah.
They're also stronger than mine. That's cool, man. I think sometimes glasses, you don't know, they make me a little look more ethnic, I think. You know what I mean?
I get that.
You get it. You know, I do that. When I'm not wearing my glasses... And then I put them on. I think it makes me look more Hebrew.
Same with me. I put them on. I look more angry middle-aged white guy. Don't I?
Nothing can
make
you...
fucking kill people.
Nothing can make you look more angry middle-aged or white.
I want to kill anybody that doesn't look like me. Right. Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's satire, Uchi. What you're hearing.
Satire.
That's satire.
Getting it.
Yeah.
Dr. Uchi Odiatu. Here we are once again as we gather... Near the end of the year, and I like this because we're going to see you obviously early in January. First of all, welcome to our new studio.
This is great. It looks beautiful. I feel like I'm in the pulse of
crazy,
Toronto.
Eh?
Yeah, that's good.
Do you? You feel like you're in the pulse of Toronto? That's great. That's exactly what we want to hear because that was part of the idea. Yeah.
And the funny thing about our room and the way it looks now, I mean, we had a really nice setup for a couple of years. We had a nice sort of your dining room table, and it was very folksy. But when you walk in here, it's like you're walking into a radio station because we have a radio board, we have the table, we have the microphones. It's a professional outfit now.
I like it.
We like you. What's going on with you, son?
Oh, I'm talking about a preemptive strike on New Year's. People often start January 1st, and it's so tired. It feels when you're 18, okay, I'm going to have New Year's resolutions. But to be 45 with New Year's resolutions, the same one from the year past.
Pathetic.
It's almost embarrassing. So
you're saying like, it's true though. You get to be a certain age. Okay. Oh yeah. You're going to learn a language this year. You're going to, this will be the year that everything changes. But that's ridiculous.
So I'm trying to help you ahead of time get rid of that feeling. So it's we're 3 weeks out, so we're going to do a preemptive strike on feeling good. It's nice starting the year running rather than gasping.
Yeah.
So, you know, December 7th, we are here to help.
Yeah, it would take the pressure off, too. Because, again, there is something about the January 1st and everybody running around at the same time making all these great claims. If you've got a three-week advance on it, you don't feel the same pressure.
Exactly.
Like it's just a great way to go.
Well, the other thing is we're also heading into, for a lot of people, I know not you, the Christmas party season.
Oh, yeah.
It's,
what
you know,
are those? What are those?
Well, I don't want to make you feel anything, but next week I've got three functions I'm going to.
So this is when you walk in and there's other people there and there's like tables with food on it.
Sure,
and stuff.
Or events.
And
you go into
and you help yourself?
Yeah. Or you go to a club where somebody's having a party and there's
really?
A thing. And
really, a club party?
Yeah, I got a couple of those next week.
And I was invited to those?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Sorry, Ooch. Mm-hmm. The point being, this is the time of year, ironically, just 3 weeks before a lot of people will start a new regime, is that they just go, you know, crazy for weeks leading up to that new regime, almost like their last stand of gluttony.
It is called the Last Supper effect. If I was going on a diet at noon today, I would be eating from 9 until noon. It's the Last Supper effect.
They call it the Last Supper effect. I did not know it had
had a biblical ring to it. Yes.
They've officially named it. So that is the thing. So what do you recommend? That people just start thinking, you know, maybe I don't try not to gain 4 or 5. Because that's what they say, by the way. At Christmas time, the average North American will gain 2 or 3 or more pounds just during the holidays.
And then they lose 2 of them, and they're up 1. And you do that 30 years in a row, here you are 30 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
At 55, 60, 60.
No, it's true. Crazy.
You know, I was recently, last week, on a work trip. I was hosting a golf thing for a club link, and I love hanging around with these guys. And there's 80 guys. Most are between 45 and 65. And I saw a couple of gentlemen that are all our ages, and they have so much front weight. We call it, in the golf world, we say that guy's got a big boiler, the big boiler. And it's almost, they're sort of normal. They've got like a couple guys I was bummed because they actually have better butts than we do. You know, like they have like real men asses, but their front area is absurd. And I just don't understand how you could be 40 or 50 pounds in the front of you. Because, you know, their waists, strangely enough, Dr. Uchi, their waists are normal. They're under guts.
Under the gut.
Under the gut,
still,
man.
It's still 33. They stay wearing the same belt since college. It's 33
inches. How is that possible?
How do your pants not fall down?
Look at the little the street guys in L.A. Like, they run around holding on to them. I have no idea. I think it sneaks up on you, though. No one, if you told someone at 19 years old, this is how you can look in 30 years, and you put it on them, they just lose it. This is incredible. I'm not going to do it. But it sneaks up on you 1 pound every year. You know, people gain 1 pound of body fat every year after age 25, usually. They lose 1 pound of muscle. You know, it's a slow slide, and you don't notice it until one day you think, where does this boiler come from?
Mm-hmm.
But if at age 20, you could shock it. I'm trying to shock people now. I'm trying to take out the electrical pads, the AED, and shock them today. Just so January 1st, they start running.
But what about that hopeless feeling? Because I know a couple of guys like that with big boilers. When day one of, I got to get rid of this, that's a huge job. And I think a lot of my experience with friends, unless they get results quickly, they get discouraged and fall off, you know?
I think you got to think like Trump 2.5 years ago. I'm going to be president. And we all laughed. Then we mocked him. Then we derided him, and he still kept plodding along. And all of a sudden, now he's president-elect. So it's
good.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Who would think?
Yep.
Who would have thought? And
well, very few people. But you're right. It was almost insidious. It was like it just snuck up. But I was going to say, you're maybe not as vain as me, but you're vain. You look good because you want to look good. The thing about vanity is that it would prevent me from ever walking around with a 40-pound thing in front of me. And same with you.
Listen, from August to November, I gained about 8 pounds. I did. And you know what? I just decided I don't feel good.
Like when you mean just recently?
Yeah. When I do this, well, I have beer and then we went away. And whatever reason, like, I was like, from what I was, like 164 up until whatever, it was about 8 pounds. And I thought, you know, I don't feel good right now because of that. And I often wonder about the guys with the big bullies. You know they don't feel well, but they're so overwhelmed about their situation, they don't know where to begin. And you might say, do sit-ups or crunches, and it's like they physically can't do it. So what do you do?
So right? I think you guys, well, you have a standard for your weight. You have a standard of how you want to look. Those guys might be have a standard. They own three restaurants. Their standard is three restaurants that are highly functioning. Their standard might be personal net worth of $2 million, but they have no standard for their physical fitness. So if wherever you have a standard and a higher standard than the average, you will enjoy that area of your life. Wherever you don't have a standard, it's a wasteland of desolate. Like, you think of Donald Trump, 6'2", 250 pounds. His BMI is 30, so he's technically obese. Yeah. But so he has no standard in that area. I bet you he doesn't enjoy looking at himself in a pair of white underwear that's wet or he comes out of the shower.
Yeah, but as a 70-year-old...
Why is he wearing white underwear in the shower? We'll explore that later.
But on the flip side of that, do you not think for a 70-year-old man, he looks pretty good?
Comparatively, but again, he's doing all the tricks. A $3,000 suit makes anyone look good.
Right.
You know, the spray tan, the hair.
Yeah, if your BMI is 30 and he's 50 pounds over where he probably should be as a 6'2" man, but it's also what we all get used to. Not only is he used to that look.
You're not used to a 70-year-old man looking like that. I mean, scratch under the surface and there's big problems. But
what I mean is in North America, so I'm down with these guys. You know, again, of the 80 people there, easily half are some amount of weight over what they probably should be. But it's what you get used to. It's also what you get used to seeing. And you made a point, Uchi and I were talking a few months ago, and I said, you know, some of my friends are sort of kidding me that I'm looking too skinny. And you said, if you hung around with people that were in shape, you'd look like you're supposed to.
And we wouldn't even talk about it.
We wouldn't even talk about it.
You hang around fit friends, fit trainers, fit speakers, fit lecturers. And we all the same. We talk about other things. But when you get a fit person in a room full of not fit people, everyone wants to ask you, do you eat vegetables, grill vegetables? Do you go glycemic? Do you plant your own vegetables? You're like, can we talk about something else? I've already mastered this area. So you need to hang around other fit people.
Well, that's my point about Trump. We're used to a guy 250, 6'2". That's not how it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know you gained any weight because your standard... I look at that picture sometimes on the way down in our office where you and I took that picture 5 years ago. And even though it's a blown up picture of your head, you look 50 pounds more than you are now.
Right. You know what another key is to when you talk about who you hang with? Your wife plays a big part in that,
oh,
too.
Oh, for sure.
No, because, you know, my wife looks great for 60. And the thing is, part of my whole makeup and why I've lost weight and why I continuously think about it is she doesn't deserve to walk around with a fucking bloated...
It's a great point.
Weezer.
A lot of women do, though.
Like a bloated Weezer? Like, that's not fair to her. Look how great she keeps herself, you know? So.
And that's one of the reasons why, you know, you think of all the reasons to keep you healthy... You got to stack them up. So one of them, and what does my significant other deserve to be around with? Like, do I want to have her feel great around me, or do I want to have her feel, oh, I have another 15 years of this guy as is a downhill slide? That's one way. Another way is to think I want more energy. Another way is to think I want to feel youthful. They've shown how if you get in shape, actually your memory is better. So instead of dropping words and, like, you know, 10-year-olds don't forget what they walked to school in. But a 45-year-old guy will go, oh, could you hand me the A 10-year-old never says
that's
that.
By the way, you just did an impression of our whole show. When's Todd's thing?
Put it on hold.
We can't remember how the phone works. Dave, is that you? That's a half an hour of our show. But that's because we're 120 years old. But you're right. People who are in better shape, closer to their ideal weight, definitely seem... to have a freerness about them. Because, again, I don't want to pick on these Club Link guys, but there was two people there in particular that were normal every other way except for these giant 40-pound things in front of them. And I think, to me, it just seems uncomfortable.
And I know a couple of guys with the big boilers. Now they're dealing with diabetes. and these goddamn CPAP machines. And a lot of the snoring thing is take 20 or 30 pounds off, and you know that your snoring may go away, and you can get off the. So imagine that you have this huge gut, you've got diabetes, and you put a fucking machine on at night, and you still don't do anything about it.
So that's what it would be for me. I hear those ads on Sirius all the time for the portable CPAP machines, and I think it's because you're too fat. You're not only now you're carrying around like another human being and a CPAP machine.
You see the people checking them at the airport, going through the security. I'm thinking like I'm taking out my Mac, my iPhone, whatever. Another guy takes out his assisted breathing device. And okay, there's diseases, but when you take out your assisted breathing device, I'm saying, hey, here, have one of my energy bars. Yeah. And have some green tea at the other side.
How? So let's talk some concrete things. We're just days before the end of this year. Uchi sends me a note from time to time, just checking up on me. Because I'm going to try and put on a little muscle. My little goal for the next 3 or 4 months prior to the golf season is to start to build some muscle again. Part of the reason during the golf season is my elbows are so sore all the time. It's tough for me to lift any weight. But I'm 2 blocks away from a yoga place, and it's a Moksha Yoga, which I've done before.
Amazing.
And that's what I'm going to start doing because it's easier on my body. But I said to Uchi in a text, I said, it's interesting. I've now been 30 to 31 pounds down from where I was January 1st of last year, and I've kept it off. You know, you talked about gaining some weight. I came back from Florida last week. You know, I waited till the next day and weighed myself. I was within a pound of my sort of 186 to 189. I never want to see 19 anymore. So I got back and I was 189 something. A couple days later, I'm back to 187, 186.5. So the point is that I've lost the weight, and this is the longest I've ever kept that much weight off.
And who's saying that right now in North America? Who said they've lost 30 pounds in the last 365 days? It's not that sentence doesn't get said a lot, or if at all, over the last anywhere in North America.
Well, the key with you is, like, listen, if I didn't drink, not that I drink a lot, and I don't, in the off season, I hardly touch beer. But if I didn't drink beer year-round and didn't eat meat, I'd have no problem with weight. Yeah. I wouldn't.
No, I know.
Because I know that's the root of my problem.
But it's not, I went out for dinner with some of these guys. One guy in particular, again, huge, huge gut. And you know, it's funny because you look around the table at what everyone ordered and what I ordered. And we went out for a big Italian meal. A bigger USA portion. bigger portion. One guy had veal. What's it called?
Veal Parmesan.
Parmesan. Yeah. And they were 2 hunks of meat. And I sort of thought to myself, man, that's more food than I would eat all day. Mm-hmm. Other guy, lasagna. I had a small portion of ravioli and a salad. Plus, I didn't finish everything in my plate. And it's like I'm like this foreign man who doesn't eat everything.
But you know, in a get-together, my new thing is, and I've said this for years, but my focus is, what's the conversation about? Who are these people and why am I connecting? And I'm going to remember the conversation a decade later more than the food. But we focus so much. You go on an all-inclusive resort. What was the food like? Did you connect with people? Did you make any new friends? So I'm about the human connection. You know, on my deathbed, it's not going to be about the greatest meals I've ever had. It's about who have I connected with? Who have I shared life with?
You know, another issue. No, and dead on. Another issue, too, is you and I, traditionally over the years, we've had time to focus on this. A lot of guys leave the house at 6:30 in the morning to get home. Don't get home till 7 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? And dragged out. And so it becomes a little more overwhelming. If your lifestyle around losing weight just doesn't create. And you can always create the time and you have to do what you got to do. But that's one advantage we've always had.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? To think about it and actually attend to it, where a lot of guys don't.
Well, you need systems. Mm-hmm. Like before I left here this morning, I knew I was going to be ravenous if I didn't eat something on the way home. I could easily stop at some place. But I brought an apple. I brought some nuts. I brought a fiber bar. I brought water. So I have systems in place that I do unconsciously now that keep me at 176, So my line in the sand is 180. My 180 pounds is my line. George Bush in Desert Storm said, my line, cross the line in the sand, we'll go to war. So my line in the sand is 180. Yours could be 190. But if you have a line in the sand, that's technically a system of where you go, and then I will not step over. So if I'm at a resort, I'm 182, guess what? It's going to be a light day. It's going to be a salad day. It's going to be a tennis day.
And that's why I don't really – I know what you're saying, Fred. I don't agree with it. because I don't care what your job is, you can make a choice between a 12-inch sub or a 6-inch sub. You know, you may not have the time or, but you make the time for what's important to you. You know, on those days, you know, on this golf trip, rather than having a bunch of beer and sausages, like I had to sit there and, you know, I go to the dinner out. We had lunch served to us every day and it was hot dogs, hamburgers and sausages. And I sort of sheepishly have to go to the person in charge and go, could you get me a piece of fish, please? Would that be possible? And you know what? 99 times out of 100 people are more than happy to go and ask for something, to get something else for me. So I haven't had to go, well, I guess I'll just have this. Now, again, you know, yesterday when we had that, our buddy from Carnivore Club, yeah, I'm going to try that prosciutto because it was amazing. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm all about things in moderation. You know, I'm not maybe going to go off and have a big steak tonight, but, you know, if somebody serves me a beautiful Caesar salad and there's bacon in it, I'll eat it.
But you've actually changed your gut flora, and probably in the next 5 to 10 years, the mainstream media and medicine is going to talk more about gut flora, but out of the 110 trillion cells in your body, Fred, you have 110 trillion cells. Only 10 trillion cells are human. 100 trillion are single cell bacteria. They weigh anywhere from 4 to 6 pounds. 80% of them are in your GI tract. A lot of them are on your skin. They're in your nose. They're in your ears. But, so you have 100 trillion bacterial cells, but 99% of them are friendly. 1% E. coli, Candida albicans, Salmonella, but 99% are friendly. And they digest your food. They're your immune system. They tell your brain that you're relaxed. So in the next 5 to 10 years, trust me, microbiome. You'll say December 7th, 2016, that Dr. Ododo was mentioning that. and here we are 10 years later, and it's everywhere. So the microbiome, your gut flora. So you've actually changed your gut flora. By eating differently, your gut flora has changed. Now you have different needs, desires, cravings, different thoughts than someone who's eating 2 pounds of veal parmesan and sucking back their second, you know, quart of draft beer. Because your bacteria no longer want that. They're telling you, I want a piece of fish. And I want to feel more energized at this meal rather than be exhausted at this meal.
I forget. Do you eat meat?
I do eat meat, for sure. Yeah. And the easiest thing with meat is grass-fed, ideally not antibiotic-fed.
Right, meal.
Because antibiotics change your gut. You think of bacteria is very disrupted by antibiotics. And doctors know this already. People get diarrhea, constipation. They feel bad after antibiotics. But anytime you disrupt the bacteria, you change how you feel. You change how you digest food.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I'm not against meat. I just got out of the habit for a few months of having meat. And then I decided, well, I'll just keep this up for a while. And someone asked me last week, you know, is it because of moral ethics? I said, well, there's some of that, but mostly it's because I feel better. And so my habit is when I don't eat big, giant hunks of meat for every meal, I just feel better. You know, if I told you what I ate yesterday, beside that tasting the salami in the morning, you know, I had fish and I had vegetables and I had M&Ms last night, a few of them.
Well, tell us more.
My point is, oh, really? Oh, fuck you. Really, really detailed point. My point is, I just woke up feeling good this morning. I feel good every day. So I'm not ready to make an adjustment to that. Like I said, I like the stuff that we're. The Carnivore Club stuff is great because it's artisanal, it's grass-fed, it's made by human beings. It's not some factory that stamped out these nitrate-laden meats. I don't remember what my point was. Just that I'm not a vegetarian or whatever for any real reason other than I feel good.
Right, and that's all that matters.
I mean, you talk about when you have a big hunk of steak,
I can't do it anymore. Can't do it anymore.
But if you had a grass-fed, was antibiotic-free...
Be different?
You'd be totally different. It's a different taste to it. It's a different feel after.
Different
digestive enzymes, different needs. It doesn't disrupt your gut. You have 100 trillion single-cell bacteria in your GI tract that want something else, and you're putting down... You know, and it's conventionally raised animals are fed antibiotics every day. So if you're eating regular meat, you're eating antibiotics 3 times a day.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what his gut flora looks like. It's probably just disgusting.
But it gets back to what you said too. I mean, and again, day one, step one is portions too, right? I mean,
well, also focus on
nothing's worse than overeating, like, and the way you feel after a meal.
And that's the system, like you said. Yeah. If I see a big plate of food right now, I'm thinking, how do I want to feel on the drive home? Instead of like, oh, this looks amazing.
Yeah.
So right away, cut it in half. put half aside. This is the half I'm focusing on, and that's my system. So it's mindfully choosing to feel a certain
way. What did you call yourself? Dr. Dodo?
Dr. Dodo. When people can't remember, Dr. Dodo. Dr. Dodo.
That's the best. We'll wrap things up here with Dr. Dodo and tell you how you can have him. He was in Norway talking about fitness. Yeah, fitness. Dr. Dodo is known things.
Did you travel to any fjords? That's what I would do.
How was your... Are there gut fjords in Norway?
Norway people are... They're healthy. They're fit. They're lean. They're happy. They love each other.
I was in Iceland this summer. There are no fat people. Like, it's weird. Mm-hmm. Like, really, you walk around and most Icelandic people are somewhat...
Because they eat grass and ice. That's it.
Exactly. That's all they eat. and fish. And whale. All right, Freddie.
Hey. FYI music news. How about this? Drake and Bieber lead Canada's 2017 Grammy nominees list. You can read about that. There's a great feature on Van Morrison as well. I love Van Morrison. Van Morrison's greatest hits, I still play the shit out of it. On CD, in my truck. I do. There's a career section, a news section, and lots of opinion. FYI Music News, it's a journal about Canada's music industry. There you go.
Very nice.
Done the carnivore club.
Listen, carnivore club we've talked about pretty much continually, and it's funny because somebody asked me yesterday about, well, how are you going to talk about them if you don't eat meat? I said, well, because I'm not completely, I'm going to try some. I tried some yesterday. It was great. And like I said, it's not just locally grown. It's been worked on by, it's not stamped out in some faceless factory. It's been lovingly prepared, and we invite everyone to join Carnivore Club. Get the Humble and Fred discount, 10% off your Christmas order at carnivoreclub.co.
Ooch, with the holiday season coming up, like in your house, would you have, like, Delise makes this stuff called bark, and it's like, you know, it's with dark chocolate and crackers and everything. Have you ever heard of it? It's
no.
Chocolate. Anyway, it's so delicious, and I know it's going to be in the house, and you can't stay away from it. In your house, would you have that kind of thing at all?
It wouldn't be out all the time. It gets put out, and it gets put away. And then there's a book called Mindless Eating by Brian Wansink.
Bingo, yeah.
And he talked about the fact that if you have treats, put them out of sight. The minute they're out of sight, you don't think about them. But if I had a big thing of M&Ms right now, I would have eaten two handfuls. But it's not anywhere near me. So
when they're at hand, right?
So I would keep anything I did. So beer and wine, we keep our beer at room temperature. So if I want to, I got to put it in the freezer. I mean, the bottle's going to explode. So I keep my beer at room temperature. And then when I have guests coming over, we chill it. So it's we have systems in place that keep me from drinking six beers.
Where do you keep all your beer? You keep it in the cooler?
In the downstairs fridge. But really, even with beer, I'm a social guy. Unless I'm with people, I don't really drink.
Okay.
Beer included. But in the summer, my environment, be it my neighbor at home or up north at the Tin Pan, I'm in that environment all the time. So I drink too much. I admit it. I just do.
So what is that? How does that
turn the tap off?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because come the fall, did you have beers last week in California? You had some nice beers?
You know, I bought a dozen Michelob Ultra, you know, the diet beer.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and when we left, there was nine in the fridge.
Come on.
I'm
cool.
Telling you.
I don't believe that for two reasons. You don't
ask
leave.
My wife. Ask
first
my
of
wife.
All, you only drank three, but I can't believe you didn't sell them on, like,
at the street corner.
Before. Yeah. Hey, everybody. I got nine beer.
Yeah.
It's Freddie P. discount. Come on.
Yeah, that's me.
That's just a tall tale.
Okay, let's talk about physical activity before.
Yes.
We only got a couple minutes left, and we want everyone to follow Ooch. It's Dr. Uchi Odiatu on Facebook, and then, you know, go Google him.
There we go.
Dr. Odudu.
Not many of Dodo's fitness dentist guys online.
Yeah.
I'm the guy out of 7 billion people. So physical activity. I'm a big fan. If I'm going to have a big event tonight where there's going to be food, even how amazing it is, I'm going to earn the right to eat. I will do some kind of physical activity during the day, whether it's a 45-minute walk, a 10-minute interval training, whether it's Orange Theory or just getting on the stationary bike and, you know, walking or moving quickly for a minute and then taking it down, lower threshold for a minute, go high intensity for a minute, lower threshold for a minute. And we talked about interval training. This is one of the key things that Carrie and I do is interval training. When you finish your session, usually 7 to 10 minutes, 15 minutes later, your metabolic rate is up to 37% higher for up to 20 hours after. You continually, your body metabolism is higher. Steady state exercise where you go walking or jogging at the same rate on a treadmill, you get off, your metabolism goes right back down to normal again. So interval training, there's a physiological reason when you do interval training, when you do high intensity, low intensity, high intensity, low intensity, on different formulas. But when you finish, your metabolic rate is up to 37% higher. So you literally become a fat burning machine for up to 20 hours later. Mm. And then you earn the right to eat that night.
So if you went for a walk and then maybe every third telephone pole ran.
That's exactly what it's supposed to do. So two lights in a row, walk slow, between one pole, speed it up. And that alternating high intensity is actually better for your heart. It has better adaptability for aerobic capacity, VO2 max, all the enzymes and the hormones and neurotransmitters in your body. So, and that's how, like, we ran. As cavemen, we walked around, and when someone chased us, we ran. And then when you felt safe, you walked. No caveman jogged from location to location. That's just not an efficient way to use your energy. So you walk, you run. You walk, you run.
Although you got to watch it. Cavemen used to beat women over the head with clubs and drag them by the hair, too. We don't want to do that.
Yeah, where's your proof? Where's your proof? All right, listen, we got to wrap things up. I'll wish you the best of this season for you and your beautiful family and the best of the new year.
Yes.
And, you know, you're a delightful human being, inspiring.
Dr. Dodo.
Dr. Adutu.
.com.
Dr. Duty. All right, kids. More meat tomorrow. Humble and Fred's 12 Days of Meat continues. It's a big show. No podcast extra today. It's just going to be us saying so long. Phyllis, amazing work.
Oh, thank you.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada, and our newest sponsor, Carnivore Club. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty storefront studios and 5-Hour Energy Performance Zone. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.